Charles Parris, A Deadly Habit, Episode 2.
It was early morning.
This is your 7:45 call.
Well, early morning for me, after a late night during which I'd slept little and badly.
Charles!
The previous evening, I'd fallen asleep in my new dressing room after gorging on high-cholesterol deli food when Francis rang demanding gorgonzola.
You awake, Charles?
No.
The very thought of blue cheese had sent me hurtling downstairs, but before I could reach the stage door, I tripped over a body.
It's nearly 7:50, Charles.
There'd been blood. I was drunk and panicking. All things considered, a bad combination.
If you take your time, you can miss thought for the day.
When I heard sober stage crew approaching, I fled into the back streets of Soho.
I'm going to make coffee if you want some.
I woke at 2 a.m. racked with guilt. But apart from inaction and the sin of gluttony, had I actually done anything terribly wrong? Then I remembered the sin of omission.
Oh, what's that racket?
Coffee grinder.
It sounds like the inside of my head, which at the moment is a bad place to be.
What's wrong with Eeyore today?
Nothing that can't be fixed by caffeine and a large epidural.
Don't compare one of your sordid hangovers with labour pains.
Who says I'm hungover?
How long have I known you? Bloodshot eyes, face the colour of parchment.
It's not drink. Well, not entirely.
What then?
Meat sweat.
Ugh, gross.
Thanks for the sympathy. I'm having a protein rush. My liver feels hot.
What the hell did you eat to do this to yourself?
I gave her the edited highlights, somehow failing to mention falling over a body.
Oh, not Morris. Tell him I'm dead.
Hello, Morris.
I'll call him when I've got the strength.
Why do you need strength to talk to me?
You're on speaker.
Thanks for telling me.
He's hungover.
Of course he is.
I'm not.
Imagine what it takes to give Charles a hangover.
I'd rather not.
I'm not hungover.
He's hungover.
Oh. And how are you, Francis?
In the pink. Thank you, Morris. Tickety-boo.
Glad to hear it.
I'm writing a book.
Oh, good for you. Need an agent?
Are you offering?
I don't handle authors, but if a literary agent's not in my address book, they're not worth considering. Are we talking Booker nominee or something people want to read?
Oh, I hope it's entertaining.
Entertaining's good. Leave it with me. I'll have a mull.
Oh, thank you, Morris.
Always happy to help the talent.
I hate to interrupt the loving, but what about me?
You're beyond help.
I'm talent, and I'm one of your actual clients.
Ah, which is why I phoned. Make sure you're okay.
Why wouldn't I be?
The accident.
What accident?
Backstage, at the Afra.
That was my moment to fess up, come clean, speak truth. But I didn't.
You didn't mention an accident, Charles.
Maybe you didn't know about it.
Did you know about it?
I was too shamefaced to admit I'd run away.
It happened last night.
What time?
Anyone hurt?
One of the actors is in an ICU.
Which actor?
I was hoping you'd tell me.
It was bad enough I'd run away. I now discover I'd stepped over a fellow actor.
At least I know it's not you.
Oh, why would it be me?
He said as though accidents never happen on his watch.
What, ha?
You've got form.
You're a one-man disaster zone. The BBC don't send critics to review your shows. They fly in Fergal Keane and Ola Gurin. Let me know when you hear anything.
Ah, work text. Gotta go.
Yeah, now wait.
Hang on.
Charles!
Stage management.
Charles!
Company meeting at 10.
Charles!
I need strong coffee.
Charles!
And a hot shower.
Did you know?
Sorry, I've got to get
accident.
I've got to get a wriggle on.
Bloody hell, Charles. You don't have to kick the door off its hinges.
Sorry, Brendan, one of those. What happened to your face?
A blood-stained gauze was steri-stripped across the stage doorman's purple pitted nose.
I got clumped.
When?
Last night.
Where?
Here.
Who clumped you?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Hunched on his elbows, the doorman's bulk filled the hatch window, concealing the police officer who now stepped out from the tiny office.
Detective Sergeant Dolby.
I'm Charles Parris, from the play. I'm in the play. I'm an actor. Oh, obviously I'm an actor. Why would I be in the play if I wasn't an actor?
The police trigger my guilt reflex, even when I've got nothing to be nervous about, except this time I did.
Don't suppose you saw anyone hanging around the stage door last night, Mr. Parrish?
Paris like the city.
And did you?
What?
See anyone hanging around?
There's always fans, autograph hunters.
Right, but no one suspicious?
No.
I could have left it there.
I don't remember seeing anything out of the ordinary.
I should have left it there.
Anyway, we'd been sent home early.
But no, I had to offer additional information.
So you weren't here last night?
My brain accelerated from naught to panic.
No.
It wasn't bad enough I'd legged it the night before. Now, I'd lied to the police.
Probably some chance, sir.
Is that likely?
Ask any of the doormen round here. But it's coming off the street, try their luck. It's why I keep this.
He reached under the counter and produced a customised truncheon.
My little friend usually scares them off.
You know that's an offensive weapon.
Around us, bat.
All wide-eyed innocence, like he'd failed to notice that the bat was studded with hobnails.
Play a lot around us, do you?
Can't a man defend himself.
Sorry, better get this. Dolby.
Why didn't your little friend work last night?
Oh, I didn't have a chance to grab it.
When I heard there'd been an accident, I thought it was one of the actors.
It was.
A rough night backstage, an accident, and you were attacked.
How'd you know about the accident? I didn't think stage management told anyone yet.
No secrets from my agent. He knows before I've cut myself shaving.
Did you tell her who it was?
That's the one thing he didn't know.
Lydia.
No.
Tripped on the stairs, cracked her head. A couple of crew found her.
Where were you?
In here. I'm always in here.
Didn't she make a terrible noise?
I was watching Gogglebox with the volume up.
Brendan's answer felt pat, almost rehearsed. His airless lair was close enough to hear someone falling downstairs, even over people on telly talking about people on telly.
How is Lydia?
Dunno. It was an accident waiting to happen. I'm always warning actors. Those stairs are long and steep, but I might as well talk to myself.
So she tripped?
Sounds it. Justin's right cut up. Well, everyone is, but you know Justin.
Sounds like you know him better.
I could tell some stories when he was still drinking. Happy days. I'll say this for Justin. There's no sight of him, and he never forgets his mates, unlike some in this business.
I love you, son.
Okay, one more selfie. There you go. Got her up. Hi, guys.
More eye candy than actor, Kit Astley wheeled in his e-scooter.
Brendan, mate. Nose.
He got clumped.
Pulling off a red bandana, he tousled his tousled hair to achieve peak tousle, then peered at the doorman's purple face.
That's going to be a corker of a bruise. Does it hurt?
What do you think?
Yeah, of course. Stupid.
Thanks to the Warlock Wars franchise, Kit was a social media phenomenon and object of global lust. He also believed his own publicity.
OK, if I park the scooter here.
Oh, you are here then. That the lot, Brendan?
Yeah, they're all in.
Good. Green room, please, gents.
Time for a quick vape.
No!
Got it.
Kelly had the perfect skill set for stage management. Organised, unflappable, briskly efficient, with the weary yet patient air of a primary school teacher.
Any idea what this is all about?
Lydia's accident, I guess.
Accident?
She fell downstairs.
When?
Last night.
Where?
Here.
Nasty.
Yeah, it was.
Ouch.
Kit's vocab was limited to a palette of single words.
Shite.
See what I mean?
How is she?
Three words. Maybe it was worth the quarter of £1 million his parents spent on his schooling.
Is she all right?
I think that's what we're here to find out.
Probably why Alice looks fit to puke.
Sitting alone, Lydia's understudy seemed to be practicing mindful deep breathing, but her clenched white knuckles told another story.
If you ask me, the whole play is a bit of a car crash.
It was the first time I'd heard Kit voice an opinion on anything, apart from the quality of the green room coffee.
When Justin sent me the script, I didn't think too much about it.
Why was I not surprised?
I mean, I flicked through to count my lines, like you do.
My inner prig wanted to say, "Not me, mate." My outer pragmatist just nodded.
But after Lydia's outburst, I can see what she meant about the play.
What outburst?
You were there.
Where?
Last week, rehearsing the Undercroft scene.
I'm not in the Undercroft scene.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Aren't you?
My performance was either so unremarkable I was invisible.
You sure?
Or the big lummox had literally no idea who else he was on stage with.
So you weren't there when Lydia dissed the play?
No. What did she say?
That it was portentous. Portentous, is that a word?
Yeah.
Portentous, turgid and untheatrical.
She said that in front of Dervla?
To her face. Imagine spending 2 years talking to miserable monks, then some actress comes along and tells you it's crap. I thought she was going to have a stroke.
Lydia.
Dervla. She's supposed to be off the booze and ciggies, but I saw her outside the stage door, chain-smoking proper old-school fags.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. I know I called you early, but I've just had a call from... Sorry, I just need a moment. Okay, for anyone who hasn't heard, sometime yesterday evening there was an accident and Lydia fell downstairs. She was still unconscious when the paramedics arrived and... Anyway, the call I just took, that was the hospital phoning to say she never regained consciousness. I'm sorry to tell you that Lydia died in the early hours.
Oh, God,
no. I know. It's just so... I don't know what to say. I'm devastated. We all are. Now, I've got some conversations to have. Please bear with me, and I'll be with you as soon as I can.
Makes you think.
This was clearly a new sensation for Kit.
We're all walking a knife edge, dangling by a thread.
No cliché left unturned.
Life, eh? What can you do?
A philosophical perplexity reduced to life, eh? What can you do?
Sorry, guys. If you could all go to your dressing rooms, the police may want to come round for a chat. See if anyone can shed any light on what happened last night.
Note to self. Avoid weaving further tangles into my stupid web of deception.
You okay, Charles?
Yeah, well, you know, when someone dies that young...
I know.
Alice is in for a baptism of fire.
Ah, she'll be fine. Actually, Nina thinks she'll be...
What?
Nothing. I shouldn't have said anything.
You haven't said anything.
I nearly did, and I shouldn't have.
Come on, Kelly, you've piqued my interest.
Okay, strict confidence.
Cross my heart.
Nina wanted Alice for that part all along, but she didn't have final say on casting.
Who did?
Justin. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing Lydia, she was terrific, but... Nina told me that when she took the job, it was on the understanding that she'd have a lot of say over casting. But when it came to it, fait accompli, Lydia was foisted on her. Do not tell anyone.
No.
You'd better get back to your dressing room before the police start looking for you.
For me?
Yeah, they're talking to everyone.
Oh, right.
Once they've gone, we should be able to get things back on track. Of course, they've got to check the CCTV.
CCTV?
Yeah. Right, better crack on.
CCTV. I hadn't even thought about CCTV. My day was just getting better and better. Walking back to my dressing room, the word foist echoed round my head. Justin had cast me in faith. Had I also been foisted on Nina?
Sorry.
Sorry, my fault.
No, my dad's always telling me not to walk and text.
That's Dad's for you.
Ironically, it's him I'm texting.
With the good news.
Word travels fast round here. Except it doesn't feel like good news.
Sorry, that was crass.
No, it's an amazing opportunity. It's just a pity I have to get it like this.
You're Lydia's understudy.
It doesn't stop me feeling guilty.
There's a lot of that about.
That D.S. Dolby made me feel awful.
The police always make me feel guilty.
Do you often talk to the police?
Well, I have a tendency to find myself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Anyway, it was an accident, wasn't it?
I think so.
Did Dolby say anything that made it sound like it wasn't?
No. He just had this way of making me feel I'd done something wrong. Which is crazy, because I was with friends last night. I mean, I was in Peckham.
What did Dolby say to make you feel so guilty?
It's not what he said. More the look he gave me when I said I was the understudy. Like he was thinking, this one stands to benefit from Lydia's death. I mean, seriously, Charles. Would you wish someone dead for an acting job?
Only every time I open the Sunday arts section, I thought. But thinking's not the same as doing, right?
It's not that we were besties or anything, but we were starting to get to know each other. She was lovely. She gave me some really good advice.
About acting?
Also useful life hacks. Who to trust in the business. Who to watch out for.
Really? Like who?
It might be gossip. But she said, never get into a lift with Justin. Handsy.
It's wrong to damn a whole generation of men, but I'd known Justin long before me too, and it was certainly possible he hadn't got the memo.
Poor Liddy. I can't imagine anyone wanting to hurt her.
I suppose the police have to consider all possibilities.
I just keep thinking of her lying in some morgue. Oh, God.
Sorry, love. I didn't mean to make you jump. We've had a bit of a rodent problem in some of the dressing rooms. The police said it was all right to check Lydia hadn't left any food lying around.
Brendan waved a white bin liner.
They love biscuits.
The police?
Mice.
All right.
Any trouble in your rooms?
I've not seen anything.
Nor me.
Once we'd been given the all clear, Nina said you might move into Lydia's. That right?
She mentioned it. To be honest, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
While it's open, you might as well have a quick look. Go on, take the key. See if you like it. If you don't, no skin off my nose.
It was an unfortunate choice of phrase for a man whose nose currently resembled Jack Nicholson's in Chinatown.
Just lock up and drop it back with me when you're done.
A salutary warning against junk food, booze and a sedentary lifestyle, Brendan's mighty form swayed stairwards.
I know I'm being silly, but would you mind coming in with me?
No, of course not.
Wow. That's very pink.
Someone must have bought a job lot of knocked off Hawaiian peach.
I suppose it's a change from tasteful grey.
Try telling my wife.
Lydia's dressing room was much brighter than the low-watt gloom of my pokey eerie. If anything, overlit.
I think I've seen enough.
Do you think you'll move in?
With all her postcards still up.
It feels like she's just popped out.
Exactly.
Alice Beaton to the green room, please. Alice Beaton to the green room.
Nina said she wanted a chat.
You go. I'll lock up.
Don't forget to hand the key in.
Go on. Don't keep Nina waiting.
She thrust the keys into my hand and ran. Turning to leave, I noticed a handwritten envelope in the bin and took it out.
By hand, for the attention of Mrs. Lydia Mack.
Mrs.? Had someone got the title wrong, or was Lydia married? I stuck the envelope in my pocket, returned the keys to Brendan, and went back to my room, hoping mice hadn't developed a taste for whiskey.
Oh. Oh.
Well?
Well, what?
The accident. You said you'd call me when you knew something.
Oh.
Oh, he says. Like he's got so much more to think about. Who had the accident?
Lydia Max.
Oh, no. She's on my one-to-watch list.
I'm afraid you won't be watching her anymore.
She's not doing the show?
She won't be doing anything ever again.
Good God.
I don't suppose you know if Lydia was married.
No idea. Why?
Hmm.
What's mean?
Yeah, I'm, you know, musing.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
When I got this job, you said Justin specifically asked for me.
The star of TV's Warlock Wars, Justin Grover was co-producing Faith and headlining our cast.
Yes.
Did he contact you directly?
No, someone from the production office. I remember, because I asked if it was definitely Charles Paris Justin wanted.
You're a real boost for my self-esteem.
What does it matter who made the call?
Somebody told me Alice was Nina's first choice for Lydia's part, but Justin overrode her.
Who's Alice?
The understudy. Justin foisted Lydia on Nina.
Perks of being an actor-producer. Justin's name's got clout these days.
But he also cast me.
So?
What if I was foisted, a foistee?
But firstly, stop saying foist. It's starting to sound weird. Secondly, this is classic imposter syndrome. Have Nina or Dervla made any complaints about your work?
No.
Then don't worry about it.
Dervla's so withdrawn, I've hardly spoken to her.
She's a writer. They spend too much time on their own.
What do you know about her?
Well, she won a Best Newcomer award in 1980, but failed to live up to her early promise. All the mavens hailed her the next big thing, always a hostage to fortune.
I wouldn't know.
Personally, I never understood what the fuss was about in the first place. Verbatim schmabatum. She's a one-trick pony. If you're using someone else's dialogue, the least you can do is turn it into exciting theatre. Failing that, engaging theatre. Failing that, theatre. My money, Derves is less playwright, more reportage journalist.
Ouch.
On a local paper.
Double ouch.
Also, no jokes, which is unforgivable.
I know Faith isn't a side-splitting comedy, but Kit Astley said Lydia called the play portentous, turgid and untheatrical.
She clearly had good instincts.
Not for diplomacy. She said it to a room full of actors and in front of the writer.
Another ouch.
After years in the wilderness, Dervla gets a play into the West End. Lydia tells her what she thinks of it. Next, you know, she's dead.
No, Charles.
What do you mean, no?
You're starting to do a thing. It was a fatal accident. End of story.
What if it wasn't an accident? You know the police are in the building right now.
Because there was a death in the workplace. There are protocols, insurance implications.
What if there are other implications?
I forbid you to get involved.
Forbid?
I mean it, Charles.
But, Morris...
But nothing. Do your job and leave the police...
Oh, hang on. No, sorry, Morris, gotta go. Come in.
You on the phone?
To my agent. I'm glad of an excuse.
I just bumped into a DS Dolby who said he spoke to you this morning, so you're off the hook.
Was I on a hook?
He's been in a foul mood since they discovered the CCTV's useless.
I resisted an air punch. Oh, dear. How come?
Well, the one inside the stage door's faulty. The one outside's been vandalised. Nina's called lunch, if you want to go. Oh, and this was at the stage door for you.
She thrust a letter at me and scurried off.
Thank you.
Reaching into my Scotch pocket, I pulled out the envelope I'd retrieved from Alice's bin. It was in the same neat writing.
By hand, for the attention of Mr. Charles Paris. Dear Mr. Paris, I don't know if Lydia told you she was married, but I am her husband, and I'm trying to establish what happened the night she died. The police are not being particularly forthcoming, and I find it hard to believe it was an accident. If you'd agree to meet, my contact details are below. Regards, Neil Des Moines.
Why was he writing to me? Then again, he might be able to fill in some blanks, so I texted. Sure. Drink? After work? Text me date and time. See. On actor's autopilot, I typed a kiss, which I quickly deleted, along with the smiley, sad and crying faces.
Right. Lunch.
The quickest way to Venorio's Deli was to take a shortcut from the wings through the pass door to the carpeted world front of house. Like a lot of old theatres, the Afro was a honeycomb of passages the public never see, and there's a demarcation line between backstage and front of house. That's why I was surprised to see Brendan furtively flitting through a curtained doorway ahead of me. It's also why I decided to follow. Another door, another staircase. For an unfit man of his age and body mass, he could shift. Hurrying to keep up, I tripped.
Who's there? Charles, what are you doing here?
My shin.
Broken anything?
I don't think so. But I didn't half crack it on the edge of the step.
Do you need first aid?
Oh, I need a drink.
Come on.
Where to?
I hobbled behind him into a narrow, wood-panelled passage.
Can I trust you to keep a secret?
Of course.
Door's been varnished so many times, it looks like another panel, but... After you. Welcome to Brendan's Bar.
Stuffed to the gunnels with detritus, the tiny room was a cross between a prop store and a junk shop.
Used to be a private sitting room where toffs entertained their lady friends during the interval. Nice, discreet little love nest.
Bit small for a boudoir.
Big enough for...
Whistling?
You know.
The question was, did Brendan...
Half cut one night. I missed the last train, so I come back to the Afra. I had the whole theatre to myself, so I spent the night poking round. I found this by accident and thought, thank you, John. Just what I'm looking for.
I'm a rational sceptic, but something in that room reeked of death and decay.
It's not much, but it's home.
I love what you've done with the place.
I store all my stuff here, including...
Medicinal vodka.
It numbs the pain.
Does it help with your nose?
Work in progress. Here. Up the workers.
Yeah. Under ultraviolet light, my glass would have been a living Petri dish. I closed my eyes, opened my mouth, and thought of Europe.
Chop up.
Yeah. Who's on duty when you're up here?
Oh, well, I need the sherbet. I collar one of the lads, slip him a fiver to cover for me. Your glass is empty.
While he poured a third, I took a chance.
What about when Lydia had her accident?
Brendan's glaucous eyes slowly settled on mine.
What about it?
Eyes full of quiet desperation, bloodshot, pink-rimmed, whites as grey as tragic Y-fronts.
Were you in here when she fell downstairs?
I already told you I was in my office.
Watching Gogglebox with the volume up to 11 so you didn't hear a woman crashing down the stairs only a few feet away. No wonder dear Storby didn't believe you.
Says who? Did he say something?
If that was barefaced cheek, the audacity of my next line shocked even me.
You know, lying to the police is a serious business. Obstructing a police inquiry, they don't like that.
All I did was come up here for a crafty drink.
So you weren't in your office all the time. Was there a lad covering for you?
It was late. There was hardly anyone around. I couldn't see any harm. Not for a few minutes.
How few?
Maybe half an hour. By the time I left, it was dark. I missed my footing. I went flying, nose first into the wall.
But you told Dorby you'd been attacked.
To get him off my back. I wasn't here when Lydia fell, but it was nothing to do with me. You know what the police are like. You gonna snitch?
That you had a fight with a wall? No.
Oh, in that case, help yourself or I'll go for a Jimmy.
In his absence, I thought I'd have a poke around. It was an Aladdin's cave, if Aladdin hoarded everything from top hats to tins of paint.
Hawaiian peach matte emulsion. Bound to be a matte emulsion in equity.
An Art Deco cocktail cabinet, probably left over from a Noel Coward, was jammed in front of an old fireplace. I caught a tantalising glimpse of some very pretty period tiles. I got my ceramics mojo when I was decorating Francis's writing room. A dead pigeon explained the smell of decay, and the blue and white tiles were lovely, but something else caught my eye. Reaching into the chimney, I pulled a white plastic bin liner from the sooty flue. Inside was a small black plastic cube and a strip of gaffer tape with pink paint where it had been ripped off a wall. It was a tiny action camera. I pressed power. The LCD woke up, offering a touchscreen menu. It was a jolt seeing Lydia alive again in her dressing room. The camera must have been up high, and Lydia clearly didn't know she was being filmed. I quickly pushed the cabinet back. Something grubby and furtive was going on, and the camera was the key. Only Brenda knew about this room. If he'd hidden the camera in Lydia's dressing room, then retrieved it after her death, did that make him a sad pervy voyeur? Or was he also a killer?
In A Deadly Habit, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Kit was Joseph Eyre, Brendan, Jonathan Kidd, Alice, Eleanor Coleman, Nina, Marilyn Nadabay, Kelly, Jane Slavin, and D.S. Dolby, Stuart Campbell. A Deadly Habit was written by Jeremy Front from the book by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.